Welcome to the Matt Report, the number one WordPress business podcast. This isn't geek speak. It's about the journey of success and failure as a WordPress entrepreneur. Get ready. You're just an episode away from your next aha experience or big idea. And now your host, Matt.
Welcome back to the Matt Report. Awesome interview today with Garrett Moon, founder of Today Made Software Company. They actually make a, I won't say a competitor to WordPress, but they make their own custom built CMS. So we're going to talk about that. They've also recently launched CoSchedule, which is a social sharing content calendar for plugin for WordPress, and we're going to talk about that. This interview dates back to, I believe, November of 2013. This is before all the holidays and the rush of doing the Startup Challenge episode. So this one is definitely late, but it is an awesome interview with Garrett. He shares a lot, and there's so much to learn. He's up in North Dakota, so we're going to talk about the challenges of, you know, not being sort of in the big tech startup social scene and what he has to do to swim in those waters. And then, of course, what it's like to launch a product and then have this sort of competing CMS to WordPress and what it's like to live in that world. So definitely a strong listen for you folks out there today. And as always, mattreport.com/subscribe. Join the mailing list. And you know that I'm not taking ads on the show, but I did launch a pro section of the site where we'll have private forums, special episodes. At the end of each regular Matt Report podcast, the guests will answer some kind of special question that we present to them from either the pro members or some specific business topic that they are really passionate about. And that is a member-only content that you can get in the forums. We'll have mastermind classes, procasts every month. It's a great way to connect with other WordPress entrepreneurs and really excel your career, take it to the next level in WordPress. And you can go to mattreport.com/join, and on checkout, use the checkout code MATPRO10, that's MATPRO10, and get membership for $10 and $29 a month thereafter. It's definitely the best way to support the show and accelerate your business. So check that out, mattreport.com/join. Other than that, an amazing episode. Thanks, everybody, for all the support. Lisa, Pam, Dan, Doug, all these folks that are in the pro section, you know, thanks a lot for joining. Thanks for supporting us. Jason, how could I forget? You guys are amazing. You guys are having some awesome conversations in the forums. So I hope everyone takes a look at mattreport.com/join. And if you have any questions, feel free to email me, mattreportblog@gmail.com. Other than that, sit back, enjoy the show. This is an awesome, awesome interview with my guest, Garrett Moon. Hey, everybody. I am here with Garrett Moon for another awesome Matt Report interview, and Garrett is founder and designer at CoSchedule and Today Made. Garrett, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Matt. Thanks for having me on.
So you're doing a lot of stuff. I want to chat about as much as we possibly can in this short little time frame. As always, or not as always, as in the recent last three episodes, what I'm doing for any of the pro VIP members of Matt Report, Garrett's going to stick around to chat about how he kind of conquers your biggest challenges, which is finding clients, charging them money, scaling your business, so on and so forth. So if you are a member, you will hear that in the little membership section of the site. So Garrett, why don't you give folks a 2-minute elevator pitch, who you are and what you do?
Well, sure. As you kind of mentioned, I'm a founder and designer at two places. So Today Made is the primary business that me and my founder started a few years ago, and it is a client services web products company. So we do marketing sites, web application development, some custom WordPress development, you know, a lot of different things out of that shop. We're a pretty high-end design shop. Pretty high-end development shop. So we kind of like to to kind of dabble in some higher end websites or higher end web applications as well. Mm-hmm. We have a few products that we have out there. They're on our site. And one of the big ones is CoSchedule, which is something that we just launched for the WordPress community specifically. And it is a editorial calendar plus social media calendar application. So that runs inside of WordPress as well as outside as a standalone application.
Very cool. My first question on the list is North Dakota? ! one of the things that we sort of get wrapped up in, especially in sort of like the startup space and tech space, is either Silicon Valley or New York, mm-hmm. or Southern California. And even me, I mean, I'm 40 minutes south of Boston. Even I don't feel like I'm really in it in the sense. But here you are, North Dakota. I have a client. Lemonly, these are great guys. They're in South Dakota. What's going on? How do folks make it in sort of these non-techie places?
Well, you have to have several coats. I think it was like 9 degrees this morning already in November, and I was scraping my windshield before I came in. So you had to be real to brave the weather a little bit, that Arctic air. We're in the middle of nowhere. It really does not, even as far as like WordPress community and stuff, something that a lot of your listeners will be able to relate to, that community that they enjoy, wherever they're probably at, is not something that we really have here. We kind of have just a web group that we're able to get together, but a lot of the WordPress community isn't even here. So there's been some huge challenges on that, huge challenges in hiring, huge challenges in finding the type and level of work that we want to be doing as an agency type company. And really, as a web startup, an application startup, the things that you mentioned, they're not readily available. Mm. But, it's where we are. And, I have a post that I did a while ago, and it's kind of like, my startup is in the wrong city is the title of the post. And really what it is about is, this is where we are. This is where we found ourselves. And, me and my business partner had these ambitions to try and build these apps and to do these things. So we just started. We started where we were at. There's a lot of times where, in business and stuff, you can kind of wait for it to be perfect. You can kind of wait for the perfect time to make the leap to starting your own company, right? Wait for have a big savings, or you can wait till the timing is just perfect. And the reality is the timing is never perfect. You just kind of have to start and evolve. And so that's kind of where we're at. And, we're kind of about 3 years into this, and, we're making it work. So we'll see.
Yeah, that's tremendous. And I think it's super advice, because a lot of folks who are just teetering on the edge of executing either their startup or their idea, they get a little mix of, number one, they're maybe a little nervous to sort of make that leap, maybe quitting a day job or sacrificing something else. But they sort of get that envy of, I want to be like those guys, right? I need to be, I can't make it here because only the money and the traction is only in Silicon Valley or New York or Boston, whatever it might be. Sort of get this envy. Do you even today, 3 years into this, sort of get envious of other startups or shops that are out there, and how do you deal with it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you do. I think we kind of have to just learn to work harder and hustle a little bit more. You have to, I mean, it seems so cliche in like 2013, we've had the internet for how long, but it really does make the world a smaller place.
Yeah.
And you have to kind of learn to kind of leverage it. In a agency business where you're working with clients, you really learn to like value the handshake. And being able to sit across the table from somebody, I mean, there is something to that that allows you to develop relationships in a pretty unique way. Mm-hmm. But you can do it online as well. And, that's kind of the type of thing that we try to do to supplement that. So we've done some good networking online. We have some good partners and some good, sources that we use for feedback and just kind of, guys that we just keep in touch with. They follow what we're doing. We follow what they're doing. And it's just a kind of an online networking type of scenario. Mm-hmm. There is a, we're not too far from Minneapolis, so there's some opportunities there that we kind of take advantage of. But you have to kind of work twice as hard to make it happen. And honestly, I think, I don't know. I mean, if you make a great product and you provide a great service, and you're really good at taking care of your customers, and you can kind of get them talking about you, and you can get them, you know, being a referral for you and some word of mouth work for you, I think you can do this kind of thing from just about anywhere if you want to. Again, you have to be willing to hustle a little bit harder probably than the other guys. But at the same time, you think about that. You think you're in the Silicon Valley. I mean, you know, guys who are starting a web application company are a dime a dozen. So, right. You know, I don't know. I mean, I don't know firsthand experience. Is it easier to get noticed there or not? But you have to wonder, you know, how much easier is it there anyhow? I don't know.
Right. And you know, it could be sort of an inverse effect, for better or for worse, without so much of that noise around you. You know, mm-hmm. in the lovely state of North Dakota. I actually know some folks who live there for quite some time who have recently moved back to the Northeast. But you know, without sort of that noise, right, around you where,
yeah.
And sort of if you, you know, if I go into Boston and I go to these, the local meetups and, you know, you do feel a little like a little fish in a big pond because these folks are, you know, getting venture capital money and they're talking to investors all day long and, you know, they're buying new like espresso machines for their offices and you're just like, man, I am just trying to get another client to get me to the top.
Right.
So maybe it's a good thing and it gives you a closer knit community. But about the hustle and about being in North Dakota, do you have any story or fun fact of that double hustle, we'll call it, for being out there, some kind of win that you maybe won a bigger client with or, you know, went the extra mile to land a bigger gig?
You know, I think, you know, I mean, we have several clients in really since the beginning. I mean, about, you know, 40-50% of our client base has been out of state. So we've always kind of worked with a lot of out of state clients. And in some ways that was kind of by accident. I mean, it's like, you know, we're kind of blogging, we're you know, kind of doing some things in the WordPress community, and we just get a call one day and they say, hey, you know, it was for a custom design for standard theme. It says, hey, I see you've done some designs on standard theme. You know, will you do a custom theme for us? And it would, you know, it was just kind of like, okay, a pretty simple request that didn't sound like that complicated, but it really ended up leading to a really big project and actually three or four really large projects outside of it. And I think, you know, the one lesson there is, you know, when you're not inherently part of a large community, you have to kind of work harder and insert yourself into some of those communities. Mm. You know, those little types of things, like, hey, yeah, okay, we build stuff on standard theme. We do customizations on standard theme. It doesn't sound like anything revolutionary in itself, but, you know, just that one little thing and being able to kind of put that out there can lead you into something else. So if you're not inherently part of a big community yourself, you know, attaching yourself and connecting with some of those smaller niche communities is a pretty good way to kind of break that barrier, I think.
Yeah, that is great advice. You have your tagline on Today Made, and for whatever reason, every time I look at Today Made, I think Tailor Made, just in my head, maybe because I'm a golfer.
I was just to say, are you a golfer?
But you have a tagline that says, we make great marketing sites, web apps, and mobile apps for your business. 3 years ago, did Garrett launch Today Made with that same exact tagline, or is that something that's matured over the years?
Great question. You know, we originally launched Today Made as a service-based company, and we really kind of pitched ourselves a little bit more as a marketing company, a marketing agency. And part of it was just the day and time of when we started back in, you know, 2010. Social media marketing was a pretty big deal, and particularly in our local market, there was no one taking advantage of it at all. So we kind of came out really internet marketing focused and service based in, you know, rather than just building things, we actually kind of focused on marketing strategy and some of those types of things a lot more than we do now. And we still do to a certain degree with CoSchedule and some of the things that we're doing over there, but, you know, not as a one-on-one client services type of project. So, you know, we were doing a lot of speaking, you know, regarding social media. We were doing a lot of training and teaching and consulting in that area that we've kind of slowly backed away from, primarily because, you know, I'm a designer, web designer by trade, and then my business partner is a developer. So we're kind of hands-on. We like to build stuff from the ground up kind of guys. And, you know, that's really what we wanted to do. But, you know, we've always been you know, pretty willing to take advantage of what's there. And, you know, we kind of saw this opportunity to kind of found a business and to start, you know, getting some money rolling in and get a client base built up, you know, in kind of the marketing sector. So that's sort of what we did. And that really defined us probably for the first year and a half or 2 years before we really started to, you know, a very slow and gradual pivot into what we consider a web products company, where even though we still do services, you know, we're still building marketing-based sites and we're still building web applications for clients. But we're kind of treating it all like a web product. You know, even a website, you know, we really want to build sites that are more than just, you know, your five-pager site, you know, where the web is their business, you know, where it's a blog that they're going to contribute to every single day and that's going to be used to drive traffic. So we need to be looking at, you know, okay, SEO strategies. We need to be looking at more at conversion rates. How do we convert people into an email list, into a, you know, a visitor, into a long-term subscriber? You know, where can we make that connection? So getting ourselves a little more invested in some longer term, or I don't know, more web-based, more heavily web-based businesses was a pretty nice strategy for us, and connected better with what we were trying to go long term as a company.
Yeah.
Ultimately, we see ourselves, you know, being able to kind of bridge that gap as a 50-50 company, 50% products, 50% services, and you really use our service-based business as a way to bootstrap a startup application.
And you've actually transitioned to my next question really nicely. How do you filter out these clients, these five-page sites that you are, you know, kind of balancing on the borderline of, we want to be a web app, we want to be a complete solution, and then somebody comes to you in the little old state of North Dakota and says, hey, we flip pizzas, I just need a five-page site. How do you kind of manage that and juggle that?
The fastest way to do that is by price. Price eliminates some of those types of things. I mean, if somebody's looking for $500, $1,500 website, you know, and you don't build those because you have a project minimum, I mean, it ends the conversation pretty quickly. And it's not really like a big stone wall shutdown, but
right.
And we have some other people that we've kind of referred some of those clients to. We always try to help them out as much as we can, but you know, price is a pretty big way to change that and influence it. You know, what is messaging? You know, I mean, we've really noticed that as we launch different versions of our own site and change the messaging on that site, the clientele and those who call us does change as well.
Yeah.
Same kind of goes with some of the keywords and stuff that you target. You know, particularly in our local market, you know, boy, keyword targeting is pretty easy. It's just there's not as much competition, or you know, the competition that's out there, they're just not quite as savvy with grabbing some of those keywords. So we can kind of control our traffic. Maybe easier than some other people in that way. Another thing, I guess, is, you know, you tend to point yourself in a direction and you start talking about yourself in a certain way as a company, or as if you're kind of just like an individual freelancer or whatever. If you just kind of start saying, you know, I'm the guy that does this. This is my expertise. This is the thing. And you kind of like make that part of your 2 minute elevator pitch, and you put it on your website and you put it on your business card or whatever it takes. You kind of start to move in the direction that you define, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And you kind of have to decide it first. Like, you know, sometimes those things will happen by accident, but I think you have to be pretty intentional about how you want to grow as a company, how you want to grow as a freelancer, what type of business you're trying to build, and start to like say what you are before you're that.
Right.
And I would say, you know, I think when we launched this new version of our site, probably 3 or 4 months ago, you know, one of the things I said, this site really represents 50% what TodayMate is right now, and 50% what we plan to be in a year from now.
Right.
You know, so we're kind of positioning ourselves ahead of what we are, but it's exactly what we want to be.
Right. I love that strategy. That's the way we sort of launched four and a half years ago. In that same kind of mentality, like, we're building something that is also a vision of what we want to be. So that's great advice. Mm-hmm. And by the way, your site is tremendous. I love the design. So kudos to you on that.
Thanks.
It's definitely a beautiful site. And to that point, that is what is also helping you kind of filter out those clients, because You know, your typical $500 client or $1,000 client, they're not even going to read case studies. I mean, what's a case study? Yeah, I'm not even going to look at that. I'm just looking for the bottom line price. I'm sure that helps.
Where's your packages?
Yeah. Where can I just click and pay with PayPal for $50? You mentioned keyword targeting in your local market. Is that something that you guys focus on, you and your founder? I mean, is that part of the marketing strategy is keyword and SEO optimization, or is it a lot of it word of mouth stuff?
It's some of both. Okay. You know, I mean, obviously we do keyword targeting and we do less now than we used to do, you know, in our local market. We do some still with CoSchedule, but we find it less profitable there, honestly. Mm. We've done keyword targeting, done AdWord campaigns. You know, we've kind of tried everything. You know, we've never done a lot of banner or display ads as far as Today Made goes. Never been part of our thing. But keyword targeting has been good. You know, web design Bismarck, web design or web application development, et cetera, have been things that we've dabbled in. And we've definitely seen results. We've definitely seen things come from those. It's not a big part of our strategy. I mean, we'd much rather have a referral-based client because we, you know, we blew their socks off. Yeah. So,
I noticed that the site doesn't, exuberate WordPress. I hate to say it, it's not like my site, which WordPress. I noticed that you subtly mention it, and you mention it in the case studies, and of course, obviously, CoSchedule, which we're definitely gonna get to, but. Even your bigger clients, are they coming to you saying, I want WordPress, or is it something you're easing them into as the software platform?
To be honest, we don't always use, top to bottom WordPress as the platform. We are, if you look at our sites, we're, our blogs are 99, well, they're almost always WordPress. I think we have one or two that we haven't been, and we've been a little more customized. But, we really, really love and believe in WordPress as a blogging and publishing platform in that way. That's what we use for all of our blogs. It's how we power them. And a lot of the sites that we built are more customized. We have a custom CMS that we use for some of those. And the reasons are, it gives us some more flexibility. Speed of development for us is speeded up quite a bit because of that framework. And it's also a bit of an application level framework. We have a lot of sites where there's kind of a larger back end intranet system or something like that that we're able to crank out pretty easily and quickly and a little more customizable for the client's needs. So
and this
we're
is
not
your
top to
this
bottom.
Is the Today launch CMS.
Yeah, okay. Today CMS. And so we're not a top to bottom WordPress shop. WordPress though is really the only CMS that we work with outside of our own.
Gotcha.
So we're not somebody that jumps around, with some of the others. So it's kind of we have a system that we've built and that we use and like, but we've kind of made it so that it works pretty seamlessly with WordPress. When one of our clients logs in, they have some of the pages and areas that they can manage on their site, or if they're having an intranet system, it's kind of right there. And then WordPress is an auto login. One click away, and they're boom, they're in their WordPress blog. So we kind of bridge the gap. So we're kind of we kind of straddle it a little bit more than probably some others.
Gotcha. Can I put you on the spot and just say what's the selling point of your CMS over WordPress? Like if a client says, our current site's WordPress. Well, maybe you actually would build it on top of that. But what would be the selling point of your site, your CMS over WordPress in a client situation?
Sure. Well, we can build a couple different things. I mean, in a more of a basic site, we can build one of our Today CMS sites faster than we can build on top of the WordPress platform. It's a design choice on how and really Today CMS is sort of a PaaS type system in the sense that it's a platform as a service. We kind of sell it as a service, but really it's a content delivery platform is what it is. So we're able to very, very quickly set up an entire admin section for a site in one hour or two. So it's very, very fast. So there's some definite cost savings. The other selling point is it's in a very cost efficient way, extremely customizable. Every single field, every single place where data gets set, we define for that site. So if there's specific, custom needs that somebody needs, they need something different besides just a title and a WYSIWYG editor. And I know there's custom fields and stuff like that. I mean, and we've used plenty of that, but we can do it so quickly and so fast that it can be a real cost saving. I mean, it takes us less time. We can build it much quickly. So there's that. That's one area. The other place is, because we're really a content delivery platform and data platform, you know, we can do some pretty complex application stuff, you know, very, very quickly, and give them quite a bit of flexibility. You know, that's kind of another side of it.
Give folks, because what in my crowd, in my audience, there are a lot of first time WordPress people who are out there building sites for their clients, and they're still kind of discovering all this technology. Can you give folks sort of the 101 between content delivery versus just regular little publishing?
Well, here, let me say it like this. You know, at our core, me and, you know, everyone in this office, we're developers. You know, so we're pretty much, you know, we're code guys. You know, WordPress, you know, has a lot of stuff in it that's awesome for the beginner, and that's actually why we, you know, I mean, who hasn't grown up on WordPress? I mean, really,
right?
And been building sites on it for years, and we still have some full sites that are totally WordPress. But it has a lot of stuff in it that's there for building websites, and it's made to make it easy to connect some of those things together. It's got a great plugin architecture, it's got a great theme architecture, and all those types of things that are awesome for the beginner. But for the developer, when you're able to just kind of get in there and do it yourself, sometimes for us, it feels like it slows us down a little bit, you know, if we're on a large project. So, you know, what we have and what we use for today's CMS, this isn't something that if you're wanting to kind of build and configure your own site that you're going to want to use. This is a platform that allows us to set up a very customized database and a very customized front end system that's made, you know, specifically for what a business needs. Mm-hmm. You know, and sometimes those are websites, but sometimes it's like a application that manages, you know, sales of wreaths at Christmas time, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like something totally, totally different.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, I totally get it, and I think it makes sense, because as much as we all love WordPress, and obviously you do, you use it, you build a plugin for it, many solutions for it, it's not always going to be the answer. And in your scenario, you know, yeah, you can do custom fields, but then you just got to do it right, and then you have to abide by the, you know, by the codex. And then there's okay, we can use this plugin, and then you automatically have to worry, okay, now what about updating that plugin? And so I totally get it, and it totally makes sense, especially in a real custom shop or for a custom solution. So yeah, it totally makes sense. So let's talk about why you built CoSchedule for WordPress, how it all got started, and why how it came about.
Sure. Well, CoSchedule started many years ago, actually. We you know, as I kind of talked about before, we had a early history as a company that was doing, you know, marketing consulting. And, you know, as part of that, we developed, you know, some training materials and some course information that we used. And one of the things in there was developing this blogging calendar. And we tended to always, you know, as social media consultants, we were always really more of like content marketing consultants, because we always really believed in investing in your own content on your own site and using your own website as kind of the you know, the hub, and then the social networks as kind of the spokes, kind of reaching outwards. And that wasn't always the case with social media marketing. That's not always what people were talking about. But we always really believed in investing in content creation for SEO value, because we kind of believe in value-based marketing, where you provide your audience with value and in turn they reward you with your business, something that, you know, guys like Gary Vaynerchuk and Scott Stratton have talked about quite a bit. So we were doing this training, and we never really felt like we had a tool that was suitable for our clients to execute that training. You know, where are they going to go to make this happen?
Right.
And we tried lots of different things. We actually built a social media dashboard style tool a few years ago that we've kind of since abandoned. But, you know, we experimented a lot. And one of the things that we always had involved with it was a calendar, and we just could not find the right calendar. And what we wanted and what we believed is that if you give people the right tool, they're more likely to be successful with their marketing, with content marketing or with social media marketing or just with blogging in general. And we believe in that strategy so much. We're this kind of company in the middle of nowhere, so we really relied heavily on online channels for marketing. I mean, we've never done any traditional marketing of any kind, not even so much as sponsoring an ad in a local yearbook or like a local, you know, with a local production. We just don't. Mm-hmm. Even our local market, we've always tried to reach with online channels. So blogging day one, I mean, we were doing it 5 days a week, you know, mm-hmm. just, you know, how to do this, how to improve your Facebook page, how to, mm-hmm. you know, just, you know, helpful advice was our channel. So as a team, we also had this problem where we're publishing content regularly and we needed a better place to make that happen. So, you know, CoSchedule looks to solve those problems that we were finding ourselves having and seeing clients having. And those are, you know, simplifying the barriers between publishing content and promoting your content on social channels. So, okay, well, we love and believe in WordPress as a blogging and publishing platform, so it made total sense to us to just build right on top of it, because that would give us the most fluid experience if we were completely integrated inside of a platform versus just a standalone calendar like Google Calendar or something, you know, which, yeah, you could schedule stuff on there, but like there's always that extra step of taking it from the calendar and then putting it into WordPress or putting it into Facebook or Google Plus or whatever. Mm. So, you know, we believe you got to take down those barriers. You have to make it easy for everybody. So CoSchedule connects directly into your WordPress blog, and we're constantly in sync with your WordPress install. So all of your blog posts will show up on the CoSchedule calendar. And then on top of that, and that's a fully drag-and-drop calendar. You can, you know, work with the team. There's commenting. There's tasks. You can assign tasks to team members. Hey, write this post, add images, you know, that sort of thing. And then, you know, kind of the killer feature is we allow you to do social media scheduling right alongside your blog post. So you're typing your blog post right there inside WordPress. There's an area where you see CoSchedule, and you can just start creating your social media messages in association with that blog post. Mm. And it's an unlimited number of messages. So you say, okay, I'm going to create a message for, you know, 1 day later or 2 days later or 3 days later. And once that post goes live, it just automatically sends that queue of social messages out to your channels. And those types of things started to solve really big problems that we were having on promoting our content. We saw our clients having, and we wanted to see them more successful. So tried to create something. We scratched our own itch. I mean, no questions asked about that.
Yeah, tremendous. Out in the landscape today, who is a competitor, if there is one, to CoSchedule? Is it something like a Buffer, something like an Editflow? What are the sort of the other things that are out there kind of competing with you?
Sure. Well, we have definitely some similarities with Editflow in that we're an editorial calendar. You know, Editflow doesn't really touch on social media side of it, and we think that, you know, we have a lot to offer in terms of speed, performance, and some of the reliability. You know, over some of the things like Editflow, partially because of our architecture, in that we're kind of a standalone application that is integrated with WordPress rather than completely integrated with your local WordPress install. Mm. And that gives us some really nice advantages that can really improve the user experience. Buffer, we integrate heavily with Buffer. So we don't really see Buffer as a competitor. Actually, I think it's a complementary product, which is one of the reasons why we really wanted to integrate with Buffer. I mean, yes, Buffer is sort of a scheduling, but it's a very specific type of scheduling tool. So we're fully integrated with Buffer. You can post directly to Buffer from CoSchedule, and we think that makes a lot of sense. So, you know, and there are other editorial calendars. If you're, you know, a large writing team, you know, you're going to be familiar with some of the editorial calendar tools out there, and we have some similarities with them as well. But I think we're a pretty unique offering on our own. I don't know of anybody who's really trying to combine editorial calendaring plus social media scheduling.
Very cool. So, you know, sort of this idea derived years ago. How long have you actually been selling CoSchedule as it exists now? And how's it going? What's your marketing efforts? Stuff like that.
Sure. Well, we started building CoSchedule this past January. We launched a page and just said, hey, here's what we're doing. This is kind of our idea. We put a like a little sign up box on there for your email address and just kind of put it out there. Let some people know about it. Got a few blog posts here and there, particularly in the WordPress community. and started building from there. We're really committed, and one of the things that, you know, if you're interested in this sort of thing, particularly if you're doing a startup or something, I think some of the things that we tried to do with CoSchedule as we built the product are pretty interesting. And you know, it was a total experiment where we're blogging every single week, sharing our story of building this, asking for feedback. We set up phone calls with potential users, and I showed them a slide deck based on what we were planning to build. Here's the features, here's what it might do, you know, that sort of thing. And just got their feedback on it and used that feedback. We recorded those conversations, and you know, everyone on the team listened to them, and those were the things that we used as we built it. So, you know, when I say we scratched our own itch, that's what gave us the initial kick to start what we started in January. But in all reality, the product that we've now launched and are selling is a very different product. In some ways, it's really been shaped by the community that's kind of come up around CoSchedule. So that's pretty cool. And we kept doing that process where we built, we released it to a set of beta users and a very wasn't really an open public beta or anything. That was kind of a closed beta period, and got their feedback, made improvements, and finally launched the product here in September.
Yeah, so that's awesome advice, and it's something that I think a lot of, especially young entrepreneurs, are forgetting. Is we get these ideas, right? And we're like, yeah, we can solve that, and here's how I'm going to do it, and the whole world is going to change. Everyone's going to come flock to my website or my app. And then 6 months later, or even a year later, they realize, wow, this is nothing like my original idea. And I think it's super important. Like, if you already have, you should be building your audience as best you possibly can in parallel to launching your business or crafting this idea, because like you do, and like I do here on the Matt Report, is I simply ask the question, what is it that you want, right? What is it that's missing? What is it that you would prefer? And you just take everything, write it down on a list, and see what you can actually do. And by recording sessions like you did, I'm sure that was a tremendous asset to building this plugin.
Yeah, it really was. We actually had we called them co-pilots, just a kind of a group of really, you know, advisors that they kind of committed to using it on a day-to-day production basis, and we committed to supporting them, and we had a direct chat line with them and everything. So, one of the things too, and you've seen this too, when you get feedback, it's really invigorating, or you know, it gives you an extra charge, I guess, in building it. You know, I mean, you get some kind of energy, and we find our whole team, seeing people using it, hearing people talk about it, really is exciting and kind of pushes you forward.
Yeah, my first hands-on experience with that was recently launching the first episode of the WordPress Startup Challenge. And I just put out there, hey, if you want to donate, it's $5 or name your own price. And if you want to sponsor the next show, it's $200. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm just northwards of $500 of last night. So not bad. And it's, you know, you start getting all nervous, like, ooh, I have to ask for money. One, you want to validate what you're doing.
Right.
And if you're doing something great, it's a lot of effort. It takes a lot of time. And you want to get at least some kind of reward, be it small, as you press forward.
Yep, absolutely.
So let's sort of wrap up the more formal interview. You know, if Garrett was standing in front of himself 5 years ago, back to the future, you come out of the DeLorean, would you tell him to do something different? Would you take a different avenue, or would you do it all the same?
Good question. I mean, you know, I think I would, I mean, I don't think I would change a whole lot, because I think there's, I don't know, I think that's a really complicated question, because there's so much I've learned, and that I don't know how else I would have known. You know what I mean? Like, by just going through it, and trying to figure out one of the biggest challenges in our business has been, how do you straddle the idea of a product company and a service company? Because we want to serve our clients well, and we're trying to build products on the side, and we got to pay the bills. I mean, there's a lot of things to balance there, and particularly as you're adding staff and some of that stuff. And boy, there are just some things that I have learned in that process that I can't imagine learning, you know, any other way. Like, I mean, they're just super valuable, and going through the process was necessary. And I think it was necessary for me and my business partner as well. And just as far as, you know, us learning how to work together, you know, we've learned a lot about that over the last few years, for sure.
Yeah. Is it safe to say that your biggest challenge right now is straddling the line of service versus product, or is it something else?
No, I think that's the struggle. I mean, you know, and that's particularly as you get a software company off the ground, that's the struggle. I mean, yeah. once everybody's funding themselves, that becomes a lot easier, and that shouldn't be too long from now. So, you know, we asked kind of one of the things if I would change. You know, I think one of the things I would do is experiment a little bit more sooner. And I think there's some shifts and some changes that we waited too long to make. And I think that there's just never, I don't know, you know, I've always been a big believer in starting. I've been a long, lifelong fan, well, maybe not quite that long, but because I don't think it was out that long, of Linchpin by Seth Godin. I don't know if you've read that one. But, you know, just that idea, that mentality of starting and kind of getting yourself out there is absolutely key. I think most of the time what's keeping people behind is they're just not willing to hit publish and just get it out there. And I think even us, you know, we've really founded our company on that idea. But even there's even times where there's been changes where deep down we know, like, okay, we just need to pivot and adjust our message here. And we just wait a little bit too long to do it. And then we kind of finally do it. And you're like, yeah, okay, what took us so long?
Right. Yeah.
So
yeah. No, I totally agree with that.
So being willing to experiment more, I think, would be one thing I would do. I'd say I think we could have learned the same amount of lessons faster.
Yeah.
Is what I'm proposing.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's something that something I struggle with and still tell myself, man, you should have just pivoted faster or should have launched this a little bit quicker, because what's the difference? Let's jump into...
Well, like you, Kenny, said it before. I mean, the sooner you can validate that a bad idea is a terrible one, the better, because less time you're going to waste on it, you know?
Yes, sir. I'd rather fall on my face in 5 minutes than in 5 years.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's drop into the last few segments here. It's what's in your toolbox. What piece of software do you use that folks might not know about that keeps your day-to-day all together? You know, like an Evernote or a Gmail, something else that somebody might not know about that you use?
Well, you know, I'm a big Evernote user. Haven't always been, but really have been now. But I'm sure, you know, it's a pretty popular one. So I can think of two. Sketch is a screenshot application recently bought by Evernote. I've been using Sketch since forever, and it is a core piece of my toolbox for grabbing screenshots, you know, doing little annotations and drawings and circles and stuff like that. We use it around here a lot for finding bugs. You know, hey, here's a bug. This button, you know, needs to get moved around or something like that. So that's a real core piece of my day is Sketch. And man, one of those things that they've never asked me to pay a nickel for, and I totally would, because I absolutely love it. And the other one I would say would be an application called HipChat. It's made by Atlassian, and you know, it's something that our team uses to keep in touch, you know, with one another, I guess. But it's a chat application. We use Skype around here for a long time. We still use Hangout sometimes for video, but HipChat has just been awesome, a way for us to kind of create specific rooms around you know, specific topics. So you're kind of like chatting in context, which seems super simple, but really, really a great piece of software.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Let's jump into the lightning round, ask you a series of quick questions. You'll have a series of quick answers.
All right.
The one plugin you cannot live without?
Co-schedule? Is that a fair answer?
No, besides your own. I forget to say that. I say it to everybody.
Boy, you know, Jetpack and Yoast SEO, you know, plugin come to mind right away.
Nice. A favorite WordPress or business book?
Linchpin, you know, probably one of my all-time favorites. Good to great. I mean, two old books, but like if you haven't read them, please do it and read them a couple times. Let's see one that I read more recently. I don't know. I mean, if anybody's interested in SaaS products, there's a book called Behind the Cloud by Mark Benioff. He started Salesforce.
Okay.
Not a new book, I don't think either, but one I read recently, really good read.
Nice. I'll write that down. A quote that you live or run your business by?
One of my favorite recent quotes is by Jeff Bezos. He was speaking to a group of people when he just bought the Washington Post, and he said he's going to be, stubborn on vision, flexible on details.
Nice.
Great quote.
The best advice, business or career advice that you ever received?
Gosh. Everyone who's ever told you to start is telling you the most important thing you could ever hear. Mm-hmm. Just absolutely start. doing something. And, you know, I think like, well, this is lightning round, so I don't want to take too much time on it. But, you know, like if that means starting at between the shift of like 10 p.m. and 3 a.m., perfect start.
Yep. Sorry, here's another fun one. What's the longest the client project has ever taken?
We have one project that is an ongoing project that we've been doing for a year and a half already. So, and I see it probably going another year and a half or three. So, you know, it's a month-to-month project that is never going to go away.
Yeah.
It's funny. It's a great project.
It's so funny when I ask that question to developers, they're just like, there's like no laugh, there's no chuckle. It's just, you know, whatever the date range is. But when I say it to like designers and marketers, it's funny that the reaction is always a little chuckle because they know that it's dealing with the client. And I find that more of the designers and marketers are dealing with the clients a little bit more tightly than sort of developers. So it's always interesting.
Yeah.
And here's an interesting question that normally has a different answer, or I normally can guess the answer, but with you, it might be different. If you had to switch to another CMS, what would it be?
Probably Expression Engine. Nice. Because it gives us, you know, the real custom field control that we kind of like and are used to.
Who should I interview next?
I don't know. Have you had John Saddington on with PressGram yet?
I had him on for 8-bit, but I haven't had him on since PressGram.
No, maybe there's one for you.
Nice. What's the one question I didn't ask you that I should have?
Boy.
The pressures of the lightning round.
You should have asked me more about how we got feedback from our users.
Sweet. Is there a quick takeaway you can give on that topic?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things that we did was invested in learning how to interview users. And what we learned was we were really bad at it, even though you think like it's like a super easy thing to do. Like, oh, I'm just going to ask people questions about how they're using my product. Problem is that you're always a salesperson first most of the time. So what they do is they say, yeah, I'd really like this feature to do this. And then, bam, you switch into sales mode and you're like, well, yeah, actually, you know, we solve that problem in this way, or oh, we're thinking about building that in the future, and wrong answer.
Yep.
what you need to be saying to them is something like, how would that be helpful to you? Or, you know, how could that impact your business? Or, you know, what problem does that solve for you? You know, something like that where you start digging in for more information and using it as a chance to learn rather than a chance to sell. A no-brainer, it feels like, but man, I think it's just that instinct. You know, when you're in client meetings and you're used to selling, to make that switch, you have to be intentional about it.
Yeah, totally agree. Awesome advice, awesome interview. For those of you who are registered as a pro member on Matt Report, you're going to hear Garrett talk about sort of the biggest challenge questions real briefly in the membership section. So do tune in, check that out. Garrett, where can folks find you on the web to say thanks?
Yeah, great. You can follow me on Twitter at Garrett_Moon or check out TodayMade, todaymade.com, or CoSchedule, of course, CoSchedule.com. A lot of our blogging activity and WordPress activity happens over at CoSchedule, so definitely check it out there.
Sweet. Garrett, thanks for doing the interview.
Yeah, awesome having you on. Thanks.
I don't know about you, but I am super pumped after listening to Garrett talk about his business and success and the focus that he and his team have over at Today Made. So I hope you are just as inspired as I am. As always, MattReport.com/subscribe. Join the mailing list, MattReport.com/join. If you want to learn more about that Pro Mastermind series, tell your friends, tell everybody that you know in WordPress about the Matt Report. I would be super appreciative. And on the way out, we have Michael McEckern, One Way Heartbeats, and I will have this track linked up in the show notes. Thanks, everybody.
Yours, just watch you walk alone. It's like hiding in a game of hide and seek, where the seeker never finds you. They just leave you wondering.
the edge of your seat. This wanting has left me with nothing. So I'm gonna let you come. So I'm gonna let you come to me. All of this searching hasn't been working. Still got these one-way heartbeats coming crazy, calling me to call me done. For having faith, faith to work out on this own. But I'm gonna let you come. Let you come to me. I'm gonna let you come to me. I'm gonna let you come to me. I'm gonna let you come.